Chapter 10, His Holy Spirit, 155. I will send you the Spirit who comes from the Father and shows what is true. The Spirit will help you and will tell you about me, John saith. But now I'm going back to the Father who sent me, and none of you asks me where I'm going. You are very sad from hearing all of this. But I tell you that I'm going to do what is best for you. That is why I'm going away. The Holy Spirit cannot come to help you until I leave. But after I'm gone, I will send the Spirit to you. John 16:5-7 CV. Jesus Christ, with God before the beginning of the world, came to earth as a man and walked the earth in human flesh, casting out demons, healing all types of sicknesses and diseases, giving sight to the blind, feeding great multitudes with only an armful of food, working many miracles, and more importantly, winning souls for the kingdom of heaven, preaching and teaching about God's commands while informing the people of this world about his undying love for us. Many had come to believe in Jesus because of all he was teaching and because of all the great things he was doing. Many also hated him. Some neither hated him nor loved him, but they did not believe. For those who truly loved Jesus, it was difficult to accept the fact that he would have to leave them. When we were little boys and girls, most, if not all of us, we could not fathom our mother or father or loved one leaving us behind for what seemed like forever as they went to work or as they ran errands, paid bills, and bought groceries. We always wanted to go, or we wanted them to stay. That is until we matured and realized that it was mandatory that they leave us and that it was beneficial for us if they did so. Some of us still could not digest them leaving, so we didn't stop kicking and screaming and crying until the babysitter gave us ice cream. This was the same way with Jesus' disciples, even though he assured them things were better that way and encouraged them to have faith and not to fear people in the midst of persecution. Nevertheless, they were sad and some would later even be afraid. I don't blame those who were sad. If God dwelt in his son Jesus, spending time with me, teaching me, and loving me, I would feel the same way. If God manifests himself in the flesh as Jesus and showed himself to be so real and so powerful, I wouldn't want him to leave either. If God was helping me in all that I did, if he was comforting me in all my sorrows, if he told me what to say in court, and if God, speaking through Jesus while he was here on earth, gave me authority and power to heal the sick and cast out demons, I would be lost without him. I would feel powerless, and I should. We all should feel powerless without God, because we are. God knows this. Here's the good part. God loves you and me too. In fact, he loves us regardless of our actions, beliefs, or ethnicity. He wants to comfort us in our times of need. He wants to help us do anything that we put our minds to according to his will. He wants to guide us along the path of righteousness. He wants to teach us his commands. He wants to speak up for us when we are being falsely accused. God wants to empower us so that we can heal each other, fight evil by using his word, and perform the same miracles as Jesus did and even greater miracles. That is why after we submit to his only begotten Son as our Lord and Savior, God sends his Holy Spirit to dwell within us. By having his Holy Spirit live inside of us, he can still do all of these things for us. Instead of manifesting himself in the flesh as he did through Christ Jesus, God manifests himself through each one of us by using his Holy Spirit, thus continuing doing what he has always done for us and what he always will do for us. Since he loves us, our Comforter, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 KJV. Let us say, for instance, that you have a co-worker with whom you have no close ties. You have never engaged in a one-on-one conversation with her. In fact, you have never even been in a group discussion in which she was just standing in the midst, listening, but not speaking. You don't work in the same section of the company as she does, so she and you don't interact with each other at all. Now let's say, for instance, you unexpectedly have to leave work early, so you go to the break room at a time designated for another group of employees other than the ones with whom you normally take a break. You run in to grab your lunch out of a fridge because it's your favorite bowl, and because you do not want to have to explain at home why you didn't even taste the food that was cooked and prepared for you early this morning at your request. You see her, this co-worker whom you never knew existed up to this point. She's sitting at the table alone, her food uneaten. There are only a handful of people still in the break room because break time is almost over and the majority of them have finished eating and have gone outside to smoke or enjoy the fresh air. The woman looks sad, and her eyes and face are full of tears. What do? You're in sort of a rush because you have a situation of your own that you have to deal with, and it could turn into a troublesome problem if not handled in a timely manner. This is what you do. You listen to the Spirit of God who has lived inside of you ever since you got saved. Since God is a God of mercy and a God of comfort, He wants the woman to be comforted. His Holy Spirit, who some call the Holy Ghost, touches your heart the moment that you see her. As a Christian, saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, selfishness is no longer a characteristic you wish to exhibit. You don't feel like everything is all about you. Therefore, it grieves your heart to see the woman crying. Because of your faith, you are not worried that stopping for a moment to show concern will hinder you in your own predicament. So you walk over to the table where the woman is to see if there is anything that you can do to help or comfort her. This is how God works. That feeling you get to do something considerate that you would not normally do is God working inside of you, using your body as a vessel to do His works. His Holy Spirit speaks words of encouragement through your lips to those who need inspiration. God uses your arms to give someone a hug who feels unloved. In the same way, He uses the mouth of someone else to encourage you, and He sends someone to hug you when you need it. Don't misinterpret this, though. God does not affect our own free will as human beings. We have to allow God's Holy Spirit to take control. We give the Spirit permission to do God's will through us by surrendering our will to Him. Ask the Holy Spirit to use your body to comfort anyone who may need to be comforted. Invite Him to live inside you and let God know that He can have His way in you, our helper. Also, the Spirit helps us. We are very weak, but the Spirit helps us with our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself speaks to God for us. He begs God for us, speaking to Him with feelings too deep for words. God already knows our deepest thoughts, and He understands what the Spirit is saying, because the Spirit speaks for His people in a way that agrees with what God wants. Romans 8:26-27. Before I began writing this section, our helper of the book, I was searching my concordance and Bible for scriptures pertaining to the Holy Spirit of God helping us. I paused for a moment and decided to pray for help. I found myself thanking God, asking Him to heal the sick and feed the poor. I also thanked Jesus for all that He did, all that He is doing, and all that He is going to do. I thanked the Spirit for giving me the words that I have already written, and I asked Him to work my hand and my pencil. I asked Him to work my eyes, mind, and heart so that I might accomplish this task which I have set out to complete. After my prayer, it dawned on me, and the Spirit led me to Romans 8:8. The Holy Spirit is our helper. As you can see from my example above, He helps us in prayer. My intentions were solely to ask for help finding scriptures. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, to whom I have graciously surrendered my will, I was able to do much more, including what is required of me, which is to always give God thanks and praise. I know sometimes I can get a little sidetracked and pray reaching out my hands to God for so many things, but the Spirit has helped me to line up my prayers with the will of God and at the same time let my desires be made known to God. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. In my opinion, I believe the Holy Spirit helps us in all that we do, but only if it glorifies God or contributes to our spiritual well-being. God loves you. God loves you and me too. God loves everyone and He wants to help us all. But sometimes He helps us in ways that we cannot comprehend. For example, I have an older cousin who is the teacher's assistant in the faith-based Bible study class that we attend on Tuesdays and Thursdays. By the way, I am incarcerated as I write this book. This is also the first chapter that I am writing. Anyways, my big cousin is in charge of choosing someone to sing or lead a song. He picks one or two people for opening prayer, and he also decides who will read the opening scripture, and he may even designate which scripture is to be read. But this is only if there are no volunteers for the task. My big cousin chose me for opening prayer. I think he may have noticed me praying silently, being that the instructor had just reminded me that I was appointed to preach a sermon at the beginning of class on that day, since I had not done it on Tuesday at the end of the class. As we stood and bowed our heads for prayer, my cousin poked me in the stomach and told me that we were pushing for time and that we couldn't pray long. What? He knows how much I love to thank God for all He does for us and for all He provides. He knows how I like to pray until I stir up the Spirit and all the guys start to agree in prayer and call Jesus' name. My cousin also knows that I sometimes get upset when I feel like someone is trying to prevent me from doing the will of God. So why the sudden instructions on a speedy prayer? My cousin loves me, and I know that he was not intentionally trying to upset me, especially right before I stand up in front of class to deliver the word of God. As far as I can tell, he is saved and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Did the Spirit prompt him to speak those words to me after prompting him to choose me to lead opening prayer? Slightly flustered, I managed to shorten my prayer to 1 or 2 minutes long. I had had this problem a few months before in an incident in which the guys were complaining about me praying for 8 or 9 minutes versus the 1 minute prayer that they favored. Eventually, they came around because I refused to do a quick God, I'm sorry, forgive my sins, get me out of jail prayer in our nightly group prayer circle before lockdown, even if it did mean losing a couple of guys from the prayer circle who really did not understand the significance of having a personal relationship with God. Now we'll get back to faith-based Bible study class where I was about to preach my sermon and did not have 15 or 20 minutes to pray and be built up in confidence by the Spirit, but only a few seconds to gather my notes. Are you ready, Mr. Broom? Said the instructor. Sure, I replied. I went ahead and stepped out in faith, and the Spirit did not let me down. God did a work in that building on that day. A few guys turned their lives over to God and surrendered to Jesus as Lord and Savior over them. Nothing more important than winning souls for God's kingdom, right? Something else happened on that day which stemmed from a chain of events which I initially thought were not spirit-led. God showed me that I would have to trust in Him and the power of His Holy Spirit even when I don't think that it is His Spirit doing the leading. He also told me, Ed, you are going to have to serve me and do my will in the midst of persecution and in the midst of your frustration. You must be bold and confident in my word and have faith that I will help you in all that you do. I will send my Spirit to help you, our lawyer. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Matthew 10:19-20 KJV. These are Jesus' words to his disciples. Some people misconstrue the word when it comes to Jesus speaking to his disciples, though. True enough, Jesus had 12 disciples whom he personally chose to follow him. It is also true that there were some whom he seemed to favor more than the others, since he spent more time with those, according to the gospel. But are we not all disciples of Christ? Does any of the word of God say, this message is only for the people of today and not for the ones 2,000 years from now? Are we not going to follow the same commands that Jesus gave to the original 12 disciples? Are we not entitled to the same blessings and protection? I think not. Therefore, when we read scriptures like Matthew 10:19-20, we should act and feel as though Jesus is speaking directly to us. There will be times when you are persecuted by unbelievers. There will even be times when you are criticized by believers of Jesus Christ. Some will put you on the spot and test you in front of others because they don't feel like you are a real Christian. Some will use scriptures to try and show you up or prove you wrong. If you are not fully equipped with the Word of God, if you do not possess the sixth piece of God's armor mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, this could seem like a nightmare. What was meant to be constructive criticism or a brief session of holy Bible scripture sharing might feel like a reason to give up or hide your head in shame because you think you're not good enough or don't know enough to be a real Christian or tell the world about salvation through Christ Jesus. Guess what? God loves you, and He doesn't want you to give up or be ashamed, so He gives you His Holy Spirit for lots of things, including times like these. God's Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us will act as our lawyer in times of need, but it's not some magical thing that mysteriously happens. You do not wake up and all of a sudden know the entire Word of God, or even an entire book of the Bible, nor an entire chapter. Chances are, you won't even know a single scripture if you have never read or heard it. Lawyers have to read and study the law to know it. God's Spirit lives inside you. He speaks the right scriptures at the right time for the right reasons. He brings them to memory. But if they are not in your memory, that's a dilemma in itself. If you never read scripture or hear the word of God, the Holy Spirit will be of as much use to you as a lawyer who does not know a single law and has never witnessed or worked a case. The more of God's word you read, the more the Holy Spirit is able to speak the word through you. Sometimes I seem to have a problem allowing the Spirit to use my mouth and speak through me. It's not because I don't read the Word, but because I speak before He speaks. I'm quick to respond to some things without thinking, when in actuality, if I took a moment to think before speaking, the Holy Spirit would instruct me on the words to use. This is an area in which God is still working on me. Don't get me wrong, though. I am not yelling out sexual slurs anymore, and I no longer call women any titles other than women, chicks, girls. etc. Neither do I make violent threats or use the Lord's name in vain. I just sometimes say things that I later regret saying. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, this will soon no longer be an issue. I encourage you to read God's law so that His Holy Spirit, our lawyer, will speak His law to you when you need to hear it, and so that He will speak it through you when others need to hear it. I also advise you to ask the Holy Ghost to speak through you as often as possible. Before you speak, wait a second or two and see if there is anything that He would like to say. You never know. He may cause you to utter the words that save a person's life or soul. Our teacher, God's Spirit makes us loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-control. There is no law against behaving in any of these ways. Galatians 5:22-23 CEV. When God created us, we were made to be in the image and likeness of God. See Genesis 1:26. None of us have personally seen Him face to face, but God was made manifest in the flesh through His Son Jesus Christ. And Jesus was all of the characteristics listed in the book of Galatians. What a great and pleasing set of characteristics to possess. So great that this is what God said of Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3:17 KJV. Oh, how I wish that God would speak in the same manner about me. God loves you and me too, and He wants to be well pleased with all of us. But how can we be like God, like Jesus, with our sinful, fleshly nature? We can't. God knows this, so He gives us His Holy Spirit to teach us ways that are pleasing to Him. The only way we can exhibit this type of behavior that is pleasing to God is to live in the Spirit. This means that we must allow the Holy Spirit to make decisions for us and influence our words so often that the behavior He displays in the process becomes our normal behavior. God's Spirit teaches us to be loving. This is an area I have had problems with my entire life. I always told people that I loved them, family, friends, and church members, but I never did anything to show my love. Most, if not all of the time, when I gave someone something or did a favor for someone, it was beneficial for me in some way. If not, 9 out of 10 times, I would not do it. But since I met Jesus, my life has been an ongoing flow of love, thanks to God's Holy Spirit. I seem to want to help people now, even strangers, and I pray and wish for everyone's well-being, both spiritual and natural. The Holy Ghost has taught me to be patient in all things. If we exhibit an attitude of patience in the little things, we will find that being patient gives us endurance for more extensive tribulations. The Holy Spirit has taught me humility and self-control. He will do the same for you too. One thing we have to understand, though, is that the fruit of the Spirit work together. By learning to be patient, we cannot help but to be humble and have self-control as we wait. If not, we aren't really being patient at all. What faithless person waits patiently for God to move on his behalf? None. Speaking of faith, I never knew what it was before I received salvation and turned my life over to Jesus. I never really gave faith any consideration. I made things happen. And if I could not personally do it myself, it wouldn't get done. I definitely wouldn't pray for help and have this thing called faith that it would work out. The Holy Spirit changed all of that. By teaching me to be patient and making me humble, He has built a faith in me that is unbreakable. Sometimes it gets a little shaky, but whatever the situation is, the Holy Spirit puts a scripture or song in my heart that keeps me going. I think we all should learn songs and scriptures about God's goodness and His promises so that when the devil comes around, dealing doubt and worry, the Spirit, our teacher, and also our lawyer, will pull something out of God's law library or songbook and force him away. The Holy Spirit teaches us to be peaceful. Sometimes situations arise that seem to make us uneasy or trouble us. It's not good to feel this way. This can lead to worry, one of Satan's weapons that he uses in the battle that takes place in our minds. So how can a person not feel trouble when circumstances present themselves less than peaceful? How can we be peaceful when there is no peace? Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God. Then, because you belong to Christ Jesus, God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. Philippians 4:6-7 CEV. There you have it. By praying and displaying the fruit of faith, you will receive peace from God, our enabler. And we can each do different things. Yet the same God works in all of us and helps us in everything we do. 1 Corinthians 12:6 CEV. God loves you and me too. If not, He would not have given us His Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit enables us to perform even our simplest everyday tasks. His Holy Spirit picks us up when we are down and often gives us a spiritual energy boost. Have you noticed how whistling or humming or actually singing the words to a positive? Song as you perform work makes it seem more pleasurable. The Holy Spirit makes you feel this way, and better than this if you ask Him to assist you. We often set out to do things that we normally do without incorporating God into them. That's where we go wrong. We leave God out of the equation because we feel like some things are too small to ask God for help with them, or we feel like we can just handle them like we always do, on our own. I am here to tell you this. God wants to be involved in everything, and He does not want to be exempt from anything. Our power. The Spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others, 1 Corinthians 12:7 CE. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4:6 KJV. Has there been a time when you did something so miraculous that you had no idea how you did it, or that you were even capable of doing it? I'm not talking about an unbelievable three-pointer that you shot from one end of the basketball court to the other while your eyes were closed. I'm not talking about a time when you accidentally knocked over the bowl of ice cream sitting on the kitchen countertop that fell on the floor, landing right side up without spilling a single drop. I'm talking more along the lines of something that far exceeded your human capabilities, such as painting an exact duplicate of the Mona Lisa with no prior painting experience or training. I'm talking about a time when someone told you a dream he had that consisted of people he did not know, doing things that made no sense at all, and you completely understood the dream and interpreted it for him exactly the way it happened 1 week after you told him. Or perhaps you wrote a very educational 10-page essay on a particular subject that you never studied and knew nothing about. Yes, no. Next question. Has there been a time when you did something so miraculous and you knew exactly how you did it, even though you were not humanly capable of doing it? The answer to this question should be yes for most or all faithful Christians. If not yet, it will be in due time. And we all know how God, it was God's Holy Spirit. God wants us to accomplish impossible tasks, perform unbelievable miracles, and tear down unbreakable strongholds, all to bring glory to His holy name. But we are not powerful enough, strong enough, or smart enough to do these things alone. So He gives us His Holy Spirit and all the power, wisdom, and faith that comes with Him. The Holy Spirit issues this power accordingly, at God's discretion, and He issues it in various forms. Most know this power that the Holy Spirit of God gives us as spiritual gifts, because that's exactly what they are. Gifts. There's nothing that you can do to earn them, but once you realize that you possess one, you must practice using it to fulfill the purpose for which you have been blessed with it. Many people experiment with multiple gifts to be sure of which ones they possess. There is nothing wrong with that. A spiritual gift which you think you have or would like to have may not be the one that God has given you the power to use. His Holy Spirit will empower you to utilize the gifts designated to you. These spiritual gifts can be found in God's Word in Ephesians 4:11, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12. As you can see, it is a great thing to have the Holy Ghost at our side, on our side. It's even greater to have Him living inside of us. He is there to comfort us and the people surrounding us in all our tribulations and discouraging circumstances. God's Holy Spirit helps us to make the right decisions by working through us and speaking through us and the people with whom we come into contact. He teaches us how to please God by helping us to walk as Jesus walked here on earth, bearing good fruit. The Holy Spirit defends us by using God's word when we are being persecuted or judged. He gives us strength, wisdom, and power to do all things, both small and great, spiritual and natural. I'm certain that God loves you and me too, because He has given us a true friend, His Holy Spirit.